bow your heads with me? Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, the unbelievable, indescribable, good God who made us, who loves us. Thank you. It's hard for me to imagine that the creator of all that exists, that the king of all the universe would have an interest in me. But you do. You show us this time and time again. We see it in Scripture. We see it in our day-to-day lives, that God, you don't just leave us to wander through life on our own, but you are with us. You hear our prayers. You receive our thanks and praise. You hear the cries of our hearts. You send your Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to forgive us. Thank you, God. Thank you for showing us such incredible love in Jesus Christ, so that we don't have to have any doubt about your love for us. We don't have to wonder if the God who's behind all that exists is a good God or not. We see that out of love for us, you're unwilling to leave us stuck in our mess. You're unwilling to leave us dead in our sins. But you come and bring light and life and hope. Thank you, God, that because of Jesus, today we can come to you confident in your love, to receive from you the mercy and grace that we need, to receive from you the guidance and the wisdom that we need, to receive from you the hope, the help, the comfort, all those things that we need today, God. We come to you humbly acknowledging that we don't have it all in us, that so often we run out of our own resources, and God, we need to plug in again into you, into the God who made us. Help us, God, not to stumble through life trying to make it on our own, but help us daily to plug into you, to connect with you, the God who made us. Thank you, God, for this opportunity we have today. I pray that you help us to have minds and hearts open to you, that we can hear from you and receive from you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake somebody's hand. Wish them the peace of Christ, or happy Sunday. Anybody going to be unhappy if I turn those fans on up there? Are they going to bother you at all? If you're sitting underneath one of them and you don't like the hurricane winds, I apologize. And that you can still have time to shift to another seat, I think. Did everybody get one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, I hope? Let you know what's going on around here these days. And inside there is that little green welcome card that you can fill out, drop in the offering box before you go. Share with us how we could be praying for you, would you? And let us know how God's been answering prayers so we can thank God with you too. And that's a great way to ask questions, to give feedback, anything like that. Just make sure it goes in the offering box. And if you're giving to God today, you can drop it in there too, or you can give online. I think there's the website's there on the front somewhere. You can find it, and that'll be good. All right. The only thing I was going to mention is that we're not far from our church's 18th birthday party. It's 4 weeks from today, on Sunday, September 16th, I think. Is that right? Yeah. So there's the 2nd, and then there's the 9th, and there's the 16th. The 16th, our church turns 18. We're planning to have a party here and to celebrate that. And so I hope that you'll plan to join. I hope you'll mark the 16th on your calendars, 2 weeks after Labor Day, and be with us here to celebrate all that God has done over the past 18 years together at Living Hope. And that's a great day, too, to invite a friend if you want to invite somebody, because we're going to do like a lunch or picnic or something. We'll have food, so that's always good to invite friends when there's food. The week right before that will be our last of the second Sunday's breakfast things in between the services. So September 9th, we'll have breakfast here in between the services at like 10 o'clock. It's easy for you guys that come to the 9 o'clock service. You're just like, oh, I forgot, but I'm here, so I'll just eat some breakfast. It's a lot harder for the 10:30 folks. They have to remember to show up early, or they walk in and they're like, oh, I just missed breakfast. So that's on the 9th, and the big party on the 16th. Just want to make sure that you had those in your calendars or aware of those, and in whatever way you keep track of life, you know, that's good. All right, we're in this series as we're looking at some of the big questions that people ask, that we ask, kind of the deep questions about the existence of God, and does God care about us, and is there a possibility of forgiveness? One of the questions that many of us wrestle with is, the injustice, the evil that we see in the world, and how could God allow that sort of thing to go on? And what we're looking at today starts to get us at that question a little bit. Now, we've dealt with that question more in depth and directly, and you can go back, you can find past messages on the website. But today, as we're making our way through the Apostles' Creed, we're getting to the section on the Holy Spirit. And I think you'll find by the end of today's message that this is part of God's answer to that question that we have. To get us started today, could we just read together the Apostles' Creed? I think we have it on the screen, or it's there in your notes. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. So, two Sundays ago, we started this series talking about God, the Father, the Almighty, and what it means for us as Christians to say we believe in this God. Last week, we dealt with that big middle paragraph about Jesus, and we didn't go into every detail, but we talked about how we really do believe as Christians that Jesus was more than just a good teacher who lived a couple thousand years ago, lived and died, and has been remembered by his followers. We looked last week at the fact that his earliest followers, from way early, like way too early for there to have been legends and all of that developed around him, his earliest followers, his first followers right away were saying, look, yes, he was crucified, yes, he died and was buried, and then God raised him from the dead. We went to the tomb, it was empty. God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, and we're making extravagant claims about Jesus from the very beginning. And that's what we believe about Jesus, that he was God in the flesh, come to us to bring us life. And so all the miraculous things that he did, the idea of a virgin birth, the idea of a resurrection, all these things that sometimes might give us pause or that you might want to cut out of your Bibles or something, like, oh, I'll just focus on the teachings. You know, he's a good teacher. Well, if you cut all the rest of that out, I mean, you're missing who Jesus was and is today. And we as Christians believe that God came to us in Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, to make new life possible, and eternal life possible. And today we're dealing with this third paragraph, at least at the very beginning. Today we're dealing with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean for us to believe in the Holy Spirit? Now, next week we'll get into the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. The week after that will be the forgiveness of sins, and then we'll close it out with this whole resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, and what do we as Christians believe about that, and why does that matter? But today, believe in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit actually shows up twice in the Creed, and if, in case you missed it. It doesn't just show up at the end, but it shows up in the Jesus part, too, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was born miraculously because of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, this mysterious... Well, the Holy Spirit, I think, is harder for us to relate to sometimes. We understand the idea of, okay, God, the Father, and throughout the Bible we're talking about God, and so we kind of have this idea, okay, God is up there, okay, there's God. And then Jesus, well, like, he walked and talked and taught and did all these things, came to us as a human being, so we can relate to Jesus, and he's got a name, you know, and a face and all the rest. And the Holy Spirit doesn't get a name, doesn't get a body, doesn't get, you know, and so we're like, is the Holy Spirit just this force, just this wind? What is the Holy Spirit anyway? And so sometimes we can we have a hard time kind of relating to the Holy Spirit or thinking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at your Bible, the Spirit is mentioned like 500 times throughout the Scriptures, starting out right in the second verse, right at the beginning. So you've got there in your notes, I just put Genesis chapter 1. The book starts out with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit of God shows up in verse 2 of the Bible. The Spirit of God. But right at the beginning, too, we see that this whole thing can be a little confusing and a little bit interesting. Because depending on your translation that you're using, translating the ancient Hebrew into English, yours might say something more like this. I put there, instead of saying the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it might say, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That's the New Revised Standard Version. And that's not the only translation that chooses to translate that word wind instead of spirit. Because I put there in your notes, just in case you care, if you don't, okay, we'll be done soon. The Hebrew word is ruach. Sorry, I can't do that thing, my mouth's too dry. Ruach. And the Greek, from the New Testament, they use a word pneuma, which some of you can relate to because you've used pneumatic tools or you think of pneumatic tires, that sort of thing. Both of these words, the Hebrew word and the Greek word, have a range of meanings that includes spirit, but also could just mean wind or breath. It doesn't necessarily mean spirit. And so sometimes the context makes it very clear. Oh, it's talking about a north wind or something like that, or wind in someone's sails, you know. A storm with a great wind. You know, it's like, oh, okay, they're talking about wind here. Or they're talking about breath in someone's body. But other times it's very clear it's talking about something more like spirit or the spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. 80 or 90 times in the Old Testament, it seems pretty clear that it's talking about God's spirit, the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, which that phrase appears a couple of times, the Holy Spirit. And then you get to the New Testament, and it's like 270 times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And I don't know if you've picked up a Bible lately to look at the Old Testament versus the New Testament. Shouldn't walk over there. The Old Testament, all the part that came before Jesus showed up on the scene, is all this part over here. And the New Testament is this part over here. So I don't know if you can see that, but there's a whole lot more of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, than there is the New Testament, the Scriptures written in Greek. So 80 or 90 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned in all of this, and 270 times is mentioned just in this little bit over here. There's like an explosion of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. When Jesus shows up on the scene and this Christian faith thing happens, something changes with regard to the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, if you look up some of those references, and you can do that now, you don't even have to use a book. Now you just go to like BibleGateway.com or BibleStudyTools.com, or you pick up your app in your phone or whatever, and you just put the word spirit in there and you hit search, and it'll show you all the hundreds of times that word is used. If you really want to get fun, you go to like one of those interlinear ones, you search for like the Greek word or the Hebrew word or whatever. But anyway, as you make your way through the Old Testament, you'll see there are moments where this idea of God's Spirit and how God's Spirit interacts with us, it takes many different forms. It's God's Spirit that creates. It's God's Spirit that gives life and breath to humanity and makes us living beings. And if God removes His Spirit, it's like the breath is gone from our lungs and we die. We live because God sustains us by His Holy Spirit. There are times where God talks about placing His Spirit on someone or putting His Spirit in someone to enable them to do something creative. There are craftsmen that are mentioned in Exodus, I want to say chapter 33. These craftsmen that are used to build the tabernacle, the tent, where the people would meet with God as they're making their way from their rescue from slavery in Egypt to the promised land, their inheritance. And God says, I have placed my Spirit in, I think it's Bezalel, is the guy's name, something like that. I didn't name my kid after him, that's for sure. But I've placed my Spirit in him to enable him. He is able to do, and he describes all these, he's able to work with wood and with gold and with all these fine things. And so I want him to be the guy, him and Aholiab, I think the other dude was, to fashion all the decorations and to make this sanctuary in the tabernacle. The Spirit of God, he says, and we've seen that, we use that word sometimes. Have you ever mentioned an artist or a musician as being like inspired? I mean, that's what the word inspired really means, the word inspired means like they're breathed into by something divine, like the divine breath of God has flowed through this person. And so perhaps he's using it in someone like that sort of a term, that sort of way. God says, I put my Spirit into him, I think it was Bezalel, so that he can do this creative work and honor me with it. Other times, the Spirit of God many times is used with leaders, like the judges. There's this period of Israel's history after they had moved into the Promised Land and before they'd set up the monarchy and had kings, where God would raise up a leader from time to time to help them push back against their enemies. And so there's Gideon and there's Deborah and there's Samson, one of the better known ones. And Samson, in his story, it mentions like the Spirit of God rushing upon him, and suddenly he's filled with this strength to be able to go and you know, attack this lion and rip this lion apart with his bare hands. Or he's able to then go and defeat hundreds of people single-handedly in battle because the Spirit of God has rushed upon him. So the Spirit of God is pictured as enabling people to lead, to do what they need to do, to give them this incredible power. It's like this power that comes, that's beyond. It's this supernatural. This is no ordinary, just human power at work, but there's the Spirit of God has rushed on Samson and has enabled him to do what God needs him to do in that moment. Many times, the Spirit of God is mentioned in connection with the prophets, these messengers from God who come to communicate God's word to his people. And it'll say the Spirit of the Lord well, Isaiah is one of the more famous in Isaiah chapter 61. You can look it up later, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me, has sent me to preach good news to the poor. We recognize that passage because Jesus reads from that passage in Luke chapter 4 and quotes it and says it's referring to him. But these prophets say, look, the Spirit of the Lord is leading me, is speaking to me, has come to me and given me this message to give to you. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is this powerful presence of God that provides life, that provides guidance, but it's primarily for kind of special people, this person, that person. And in the New Testament, that all changes. In the book of Acts is where we really read about it. And there's a part of me that's trying really hard not to just repeat everything I said back in May. Because May 20th was Pentecost Sunday when we celebrated the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And then even in the month of June, we spent 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of June, talking about all the different things that the Spirit does in us. That we are called by God's Holy Spirit and gifted by God's Holy Spirit to do good work, that we're changed by God's Spirit, that we're sent by God's Spirit into the world on mission. And so if this is a topic that really interests you, hit the website, go back, or subscribe to the podcast, or whatever you need to do. You can go back, you can listen to those messages. I'm trying not to just repeat everything, but I've got to cover some of the same ground. So there's a part of me that wants to apologize to those of you who are here every Sunday, and you're like, didn't he just talk about this a few months ago? I'm going to try to cover new ground, okay? When you get to the book of Acts, and the disciples are talking with the risen Christ, Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, he's been buried, and he's risen again. And they've been spending the last 40 days talking with him, and he's been teaching them about the kingdom of God and what it means to live under God's reign and rule, to help live as God's ambassadors here in the world. And they ask him, they're like, okay, so you defeated death. Are you going to defeat the Romans now? You know, is it time? You're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, you don't get to know those details. And then in verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises his followers this Holy Spirit, and that you will receive power when this Holy Spirit comes. You will receive the Greek words dunamis, the same root that we get like words like dynamite from. This explosive power, this divine power. He says, you will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, fills your life, when you encounter the Holy Spirit in a new way, and he will enable you to go and to be my witnesses, to be my ambassadors, to share my love, my grace, and my message to the entire world. This is one reason that I don't mind spending another Sunday talking about the Holy Spirit, because we as followers of Christ need to have his power at work in our lives. We can't settle. We can't afford to settle. The world can't afford for us to settle for a powerless Christianity that just is believing some things in our heads and trying really hard to maybe be a little bit better than we were the day before or something like that. God, in his mission in the world, needs us as his church to be filled with his Spirit, to be guided by his Spirit, to be listening to his voice as we go through our lives, so that we can follow his lead and so we can be empowered by him to do what he needs us to do. We need God's power at work in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit. So, as you continue through Acts chapter 2 shows up. Jesus ascends into heaven, and God has to send a couple of angels, say, quit staring at the sky, go do what he told you to do. So they wait in Jerusalem, and sure enough, a few days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out in this amazing way. It says they're gathered in this room to pray, and suddenly there's a sound like the rushing of a violent wind. So again, this idea of spirit, wind, breath, all being the same word that gets translated. The sound of a rushing wind, like a windstorm, fills the room. They see flames come and land on each person, and suddenly they are proclaiming the wonders of God in languages they never had known. There are people from all over the Roman world gathered in Jerusalem that day for a Jewish festival of Pentecost. And as a crowd gathers to figure out what is going on with these people over here with the flames on their heads and speaking all these different languages, they are able to talk to these people from all over the world about Jesus and the good news of who he is and what God has done through him. Peter stands up and addresses the crowd, and I'm not going to read his whole little message there, but as he's explaining what's going on, he says to them, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Says, our ancestors heard God speaking through the prophet saying that this would happen. Here's what he said. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And you all turn the page over, but don't, I'm going to pause for a second. He says, this isn't just for the special people anymore. God promised long ago that the day would come when he would pour out his spirit on all people. And Peter says, that day has come when the Holy Spirit is being given to everyone who trusts in Christ, to everyone who calls on the Lord for help, for salvation. God is pouring out his spirit and enabling both men and women, young and old. Doesn't matter. He says, everyone gets God's Holy Spirit so they can do his work and proclaim his good news. A few verses later, after he's talked about what God has done through Jesus and died and raised him from death, he says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, well, brothers, what do we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It says this gift of God's Holy Spirit, the incredible nearness of God, is for you. Now, here's where we need to get into some of this theology bit about the Trinity. And I know that we're not going to wrap our heads around it, and I've mentioned that, brought this up a few times. Christians, we as Christians believe that, and it's stated in some of the other creeds that came after the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. We should just recite the Nicene Creed some Sunday so you can hear how it gets spelled out. But we believe that God, as he really is, exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that all three together somehow are one God. The way I usually think about it is that God gives all of himself to us in Jesus Christ. And so people were walking and talking with Jesus, when they were following Jesus, when they were touched by Jesus, they realized this is more than just a man. This is God in the flesh. Somehow, all the beingness of God, or one of the scriptures in the New Testament says the fullness of God was dwelt in Jesus. All of who God is was somehow given to us in Jesus, in the flesh. And now that Jesus has ascended to heaven, somehow all the fullness of God has been given to us in the Holy Spirit. So that now God is not just up on a mountaintop hidden in smoke and flame. God is not even just in one human body, in one place at one time that you got to all travel and go to see him if you want to, like people going for a big concert, or whatever, where the superstar is in town and so everybody gets tickets and flocks to the arena. If Jesus were still walking and talking today, I'm guessing it would be something like that. But Jesus ascended into heaven, and God has given all of himself to us in the Holy Spirit, to each and every one of us. The Bible says that that you, as followers of Christ, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we collectively are the temple, that where God's Spirit dwells, where people can come to meet God here and now, and that we as individuals are temples of the Holy Spirit, that we carry the Spirit of God with us everywhere we go, so that everyone we meet has the chance to encounter this amazing power of God, the grace of God, the fullness of God in his love, present in us, present with us. He says, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured it out on all of us. And this is open to all of us today. Now, I put in your notes, we're not going to go through all the scriptures there under this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you see in bold. I stole that from a website. It's actually a Catholic website, and I just put a link to it there so you can look it up later if you want. We agree with the Roman Catholic Church on the Trinity and who Jesus is, that sort of basic stuff. They would say the Apostles' Creed just like any Protestant church would. But they're trying to show that, like, the Bible talks about all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and says the same things about all of them. These things that are uniquely something that God does, some scriptures say, well, God the Father does this. Some say, well, Jesus does this. Some say, well, the Holy Spirit does this. Like raising Jesus from the dead. Well, it was God the Father in some verses. It was Jesus himself raised himself from the dead in some verses. Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead in others. Like the one right there, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the one that I skipped over. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's some powerful stuff. In fact, if you read Ephesians chapter 1, in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul doesn't use the word spirit, but he just talks about the same power that God used when he raised Christ from the dead. This power now is for you, believers. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Well, who gave the new covenant? Well, the Father did, Jesus did, the Holy Spirit. Who is it that sanctifies believers, who makes us holy, who sets us apart for God's work and purifies us of sin? Well, the Father does this, Jesus does this, the Holy Spirit does this. Who's the creator? The Father is, Jesus is, the Spirit is. Who is it that indwells believers, lives inside of us? Well, some scriptures describe the Father living in us. Others say Jesus lives in us. Others say the Holy Spirit lives in us. I like this. The Bible even describes this in terms of different combinations. The Father and Son, the Father and the Spirit, the Son and the Spirit. So if you've ever wondered, so they're really all God. Well, somehow, yes, the early believers who wrote the Bible recognize that, yes, God the Father is definitely God. And Jesus, somehow, mysteriously, unbelievably, Jesus, this human being that we talked to and ate with, was God in the flesh. And now this Holy Spirit that we're encountering day by day, who's leading us, who's guiding us, who's empowering us to do what God wants us to do, this Holy Spirit, too, is the Spirit of God. Is God present with us? And I know it bugs me that the Holy Spirit doesn't get, like, a proper name. Like if it was Ralph or something, I guess maybe we could like relate, like seem more like a person and not like a thing, not just like breath or wind, but that's not given to us. All right. But the Holy Spirit is more than just like an electrical force or more than just a wind from God, because the Bible also talks about that you can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give you joy. There's so many things that the Bible says about the Spirit that talk about the Holy Spirit in personal terms. So you know that this is truly God present with me today. Wherever I go, whatever I face, God is present with me. When we trust in Christ, when we say yes to Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit. But it's kind of up to us whether or not how open we are to God's presence, how open we are to his Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us. One way you might think of this, I'll give you a couple examples here real quick. As you go through life, you've kind of heard before, you're making decisions like, okay, do I go this way, that way? We all have kind of voices in our heads. I don't think it's just me. I think it's all of us have these voices in our heads that some are saying like, nah, go ahead and do this. No one's going to know, and it'll just be easier. You kind of got the devil on one shoulder, saying, this is, go ahead, do this. Or, you can't really do that. I know you hear this other voice saying, you should try this. You should go for this. You should try this thing, but you can't really do that. You're not the kind of person that should do that kind of thing. Just stay back. Just sit back. Don't worry about it. Let somebody else handle that. Let somebody else do that big thing. You just stick around. You just take care of you. You kind of have the devil on the one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, like we see in the cartoons or whatever. We all have these different voices. Sometimes those voices sound a lot like our parents, things we heard growing up as kids, whether positive or negative. Parents have a huge impact on their kids because the things that parents say to their kids stick with them about whether they're valuable or not, whether they can or can't. Maybe it sounds like a teacher or a coach that you had along the way. Maybe it sounds like a friend, somebody you looked up to, somebody you counted on, and then they said something that hurt you to the core, and you still hear that voice in your head from time to time. The Holy Spirit, I think, comes to us in part to be another voice for us to listen to, the voice of God speaking to us, saying, no, you can do this. This is what I would have you to do. To sometimes be saying, no, 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 don't stay away from that. Don't go there. That's gonna be trouble. Or to say, yes, this, do this. You do need to forgive this person. I know it's not easy, but you've got to forgive. You can't hang on to that bitterness that's gonna eat you up. You've got to find a way to forgive. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us, wants to speak to us. Much like the Spirit spoke to his people through the prophets before, now it's like God is whispering in each and every one of our ears. But it's hard to hear him if we're not paying attention, if we're not plugging in. How many of you have cell phones with you? Can I see it for a second? Can I see your cell phone? Pull your cell phone out for just a second if you've got it. I hope it's on vibrate or silent, I assume, because I haven't heard any of them go off yet today. I'm curious for you, how long would your cell phone last? If you charge it up in the morning, you know, whatever, you charge it overnight, you pick it up, it's all charged up. How long would that last before you'd have to charge it again? Count of three. Just say how many days would your cell phone last until you get to 1, 2, 3. How long?
10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours. You know, 10 hours. Should I have asked hours instead of days? How many of you? It's like one day. It would make it one day, and then I've got to charge again. Anybody 2 days? Your phone will last 2 days? Some of you, yeah. Either you got a big phone or you don't use it as much, maybe. Or 3 days? Anybody three? You go three? Really? That phone right there?
He doesn't use it much.
Wow. Okay, he doesn't use it much. All right. I don't believe it, but. Anybody, your phone will last 4 days before you have to charge it up, but still works after 4 days? Okay, nobody raised their hand in here, I guess. I think back in the day, my first phone, I think, would last that long. I don't remember for sure now. It's been too long. These phones are great until they don't have a charge, until they've run out and you forgot your cord, or you forgot to plug it in, and all of a sudden it's the middle of the day. And what is your phone good for if it doesn't have any juice? I mean, not much, right? Paperweight or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just something expensive to try not to break at that point. I wonder sometimes, you know, like, how long do we think we can go without plugging into our power source? There's so much potential that we have, so much potential for good, to be used by God, but if we haven't plugged in to God, if we haven't paid attention, if we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to blow through us, to breathe through us. I wanted to bring in... I'm not a very handy guy, so I don't use tools a whole lot, but I do have to mow the yard, and I do have to edge and all that kind of, use the string trimmer, and so a few years ago, got these Black & Decker set that's got all the rechargeable batteries on it, you know, and so I can do the hedge trimmers, or I can do my cordless drill, or I can do the string trimmer with it, and whenever I do the trimmer thing, I've got to, like, grab a couple of batteries with me, because it just doesn't last that long. I don't know, it's spinning around. At some point, it's like the charge gets so low that the string's going around, but it's just kind of like, you know, batting at the grass. It's not cutting it anymore. It's just kind of like, you know, just kind of hitting it, you know, and the grass just kind of sits there and goes, ha, ha, ha. It's like tickling the grass or something. And that's when I change the battery, and suddenly I've got enough juice that all of a sudden that grass is, you know, is gone because it's spinning faster. It's doing the work it's supposed to do. And some of those batteries now are just dead, you know. But if I went out there and I haven't kept that battery charged, and I think I'm going to do some work, and there's no power there, I mean, it's not going to be effective. It's not going to do what it needs to do. And sometimes I wonder, are we like those dead cell phones? Are we like the string trimmer that can't accomplish its work because we haven't been allowing God's Holy Spirit to fill us, to recharge us, to enable us to do what God's called us to do? I mentioned at the beginning that I think this message gets at that question of evil in the world, injustice in the world. And the reason is because so often God's answer to that question is us. God says, yes, there is evil in the world. And so I'm going to transform some people's lives. I'm going to fill them with my Holy Spirit so that they can live in this world as the body of Christ, so they can make a difference in those places. They can go to those places of injustice and change things. So they can go to those who are poor and make sure their needs are met. So they can go to the hurting and make sure they're not alone. So that's how God responds. And so he needs us, and the world needs us, not just to show up at church on Sunday and think, that was nice, okay, check, moving on. The world needs us as God's people to be open to God's Holy Spirit, to allow him to fill our lives, to daily be plugging into this power source in some way. And I don't know what you need to do to make that happen. I know a year maybe ago. I'm trying to remember when it was. There was some time I was preaching on the idea of listening to God in the morning. And so I just set a recurring thing in my calendar that at 6 a.m. every day from now till Jesus comes back or until I get rid of it, my calendar is going to make a little beep. And I look down to see why my calendar beeped. And it says, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." Coming out of the story of Samuel, hearing God and saying, "Okay, God, I'm listening." And so when that goes off in the morning, I at least am reminded, and I can't say that I always do, but I'm at least reminded to stop and say, "Okay, God, I'm listening. What do you want to say to me today? What do you want to do in me today? Please, God, would you guide me by your Holy Spirit? Would you fill me with your grace and love?" Sometimes it reminds me to think back over the day before or the night before and say, "Yeah, God, please, would you forgive me? I blew it there. Thank you for your mercies being new every morning. Thank you, God, for your unbelievable grace. Would you guide me by your Holy Spirit to walk a better path today? Would you help me to pay attention today to the people you're going to send me to, so that I can be ready to be used by you?" Just heard a great testimony this last week, Wednesday night at our Bible study. Somebody talking about how he does this periodically, just goes to places and just says, "Okay, God, who are you going to lead me to today?" And just as he's walking through town, just says, he's just ready. And just ask him, "God, would you lead me to somebody that needs to hear how much you love him? Would you lead me to somebody that I can serve, that I can show your love to?" And he has remarkable stories about the ways that God works through him in those moments. People he bumps into that he hasn't seen for years, and they sit down and have a conversation about God. And, you know, and he's not pushy about it. But they bring it up. And God works through him in amazing ways just because he's open and available to be used by God. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to start your day just saying, "Okay, God, I need your Holy Spirit. I need you to fill me today." And maybe that means you've got to take a few minutes to quiet yourself. Maybe it means you've got to take a few minutes to read the Bible, to invite God to speak. Maybe you need to stop and listen to a song that really puts you back in tune with the God who loves you and the God who made you. Maybe there's something you can do. But are you willing to do that? Are you willing to be led by God's Holy Spirit? Are you willing to plug in, to allow God's Spirit to transform you from the inside out and to use you here in the world? I put at the very bottom of your notes this passage from Galatians chapter 5 that some of you have heard 100 times. He's talking in there about how whatever we do, the seeds we plant are going to bear fruit. And so we could plant seeds to just please ourselves, and there's fruit that comes from that. There's consequences from living a selfish kind of life. But if we follow the Holy Spirit, and it says this kind of fruit grows in us, love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, what I grew up hearing that one as, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the kind of fruit, this is what happens in our lives as we follow God's Holy Spirit. Wouldn't the world be a better place if there were a whole bunch of us running around whose lives were marked by love and joy and peace and patience? Wouldn't the world be a better place if all of us who claimed Christ, if all of us who checked the box saying, "Yep, I'm a Christian," if all of us were so filled with God's Holy Spirit and so open to him that our lives were marked by this kind of behavior, these kind of characteristics? This is what God wants to see happen in us. When we believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe that God didn't just come near to us in Jesus Christ, but he has come unbelievably near to us now by the Spirit of God. In that story in Acts chapter 2, after Peter had said that, it said the people were cut to the heart, and they said, "Brothers, what should we do?" Even that little moment right there, which maybe some of you are feeling today, maybe right now some of you are feeling like, "Oh, yeah, I don't do what I need to do. I should be plugging into God more. I should be listening for his Holy Spirit more so that I can know what to do, so I can follow him." Some of you right now, if you're feeling that, if you're thinking that, even that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and telling you, "Yes, let's do this." Is the Spirit of God telling you not to kill the cricket? You're trying to catch it? Is that what's happening? No, sorry. Just let it live. It's not going to hurt anybody. I know. It's going to start cricketing. I saw you guys watching it, and I was like, "Oh no, oh no." That's right. That's right. So, hey, it's okay. You tried. I was trying to look that way so no one would look at you, but then I just couldn't help myself. So. Thanks. Hopefully that wasn't distracting us from the Holy Spirit trying to speak to us this morning. Because like I was saying, if you are sensing something right now, like I should be making some kind of change, even that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Even that is the Spirit of God at work in you, because God is always working. He's always calling us to himself. All right, we need to pray and celebrate communion and go. So let's do this. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, for loving us and for coming close to us by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would remind us throughout our day and throughout our week that there is never a moment where we are far from you, but that out of love for us, you are right there speaking to us, guiding us, leading us, empowering us. Sometimes, God, you are confronting us about our failures, about our sins, so that we can turn from sin and turn to you and find ourselves forgiven and set free, so we can receive your grace and mercy. God, help us to listen when that's what you're saying. Sometimes you're warning us. Sometimes you're guiding us into an opportunity. Sometimes you're trying to prepare us for something that's to come. God, would you please just help us to pay attention to you, to allow your breath to fill our lungs, to allow your wind to push us where we need to go, to listen for the voice of your Holy Spirit, and to rely on your strength and power. We don't want to live an empty, powerless kind of life. We want to live lives empowered by you to be a people of love, a people of joy, a people of peace. Thank you, God. Thank you for the great love that you have for each and every one of us. We see this love, we experience this love in Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate together with Christians around the world the sacrament of communion, where we offer to you this bread and this juice. We pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering the great price that was paid. Lord Jesus, you took our sins on yourself. You bore our sins in your body all the way to the cross. And you died on that cross for me, for each one of us. And God, you raised him from death so that we could see that sin doesn't have the final say. Our sin is not more powerful than your love and your grace. So that we could have hope, so that we could have life. Thank you, God, for conquering sin and death in Jesus Christ, and for offering us your life, your promised Holy Spirit, today, here, and now. We admit to you today our need of you, our need of your grace, our need of your love, our need of the power of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Please, God, would you give us these today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to join the cricket up here, and they're going to lead us in a closing song as we celebrate communion today. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seats. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. There's no pressure to participate if this isn't something you're interested in, but if today you are grateful to God for his love and you want to experience his grace in a tangible, touchable, tasteable way, then this is a gift that has been given to us. So let's give God thanks for the love he's shown us in Christ, and let's come to him to be filled by his Spirit today. Thank you, God, for the love and grace that you've shown us in Jesus Christ, and the invitation that you offer to all of us who are thirsty for your Spirit, all of us who are hungry for your grace, that we can come to you and find it. We do pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ today, so that we can leave this place changed people, with a new direction, a new voice ringing in our ears perhaps. Help us to pay attention to you, to follow the lead of your Holy Spirit, to rely on your strength and power, so that we can walk through this world as the body of Christ, sharing your grace and your love with people who so desperately need it. Thank you, God. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.